Second Thessalonians, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number one. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, and that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let us pray. Father, again we thank you today for the wonderful, wonderful love of God. Thank you for the soul that was saved. We thank you for that one followed in baptism. We thank you, Father, for all the decisions that was made. And Father, that we trust that throughout all the services, you was honored in our children's ministries, here in our auditorium, Father, that you was honored and glorified this day. Once again, it's a new time, a new day, and we need help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. And we ask you tonight, Lord, to empower this preacher as he preaches. Give him clarity of mind, Father, and thought as he preaches the word of God. And then, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, Lord, that we might be better for Jesus Christ than we've ever been before. Thank you in his precious, wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, as last week, we started on the second chapter of Second Thessalonians, and just covered just a little bit of it. We'd started in the book of Daniel, and then of course done some in the book of Revelation. But tonight we want to continue on the message concerning the Antichrist. As I told you, these are informational messages. These are things for you to know. It'll help you and encourage you to know the Bible. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be helped. So we go in the book of Revelation and do some teaching in the book of Revelation. The promise of God is that we'll be blessed through the reading of the book of Revelation. So we want to just continue and cover some of these things that might help you. We'll get in tonight a little bit on the false prophet. I want to take time to thank everybody that got me things off the internet and all kinds of things of information about the Pope and all those things. It was very, very helpful, interesting, and I appreciate them very, very much. I don't know why they didn't embalm him, but it don't really made a whole lot of difference. He's dead. But anyway, it's just interesting. Some of that things to me is interesting. I like to read about it and like to do a little studying of it, of what's going on. The Vatican over there is full of secrecy. It's run. It's like the Masonic Lodge. They're full of secrecy. And so believe me, there's a lot of things that you don't know what's going on over in the Vatican. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to go to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we're going to do our best to expose some things that will happen. I believe that we can look at some things and say, I believe this is exactly what's going to happen during the time when that woman rides the beast. And I don't think there's any doubt that we can identify who that is. I don't think we can have any doubt about that whatsoever. It's pretty hard. I'm talking about as a system. We can identify the system. We can identify that. When it comes down to personalities, I'm not even going to try to identify all these people, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's just so many things that we do not know, and I do not know. I know this, the Antichrist is going to be revealed after the rapture of the church. And we're going to find that here in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. So anyway, let's just you remember how that the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, was talking to the Thessalonians, and he told them that not to be shaken, not to be worried, because there was some people that was trying to say the day of the Lord was at hand. It was already here, and it was at hand. And he said, don't be deceived, as he said in verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's a falling away. We talked about that last week, not really in depth, but we talked about the falling away. I certainly believe there's a falling away worldwide from the things of the Lord and from the truth of the scriptures, but there certainly is a falling away even within the Christendom, as we would call it. There's a falling away. There's a falling away from the truth of the Word of God. And people are walking away from the Word of God. You cannot build your doctrine on your thoughts or ideas or anybody else's. It's got to be built on the Word of God. Amen. That's the only thing God will accept. Okay? And anything contrary to that cannot be right, because God is always right. We men may not be, but God is always right. Amen. So anyway, he's telling us that. And then he said that the man of sin, he calls him the man of sin. He also refers to him as the son of perdition. He says, will be revealed. Now we'll get on down. We'll see when that revealing will take place. He says, who opposes, talking about the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is God. He opposes God. He opposes the things and the teachings of God. And he exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worship. So that he, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Who is that? That's what we refer to as the Antichrist. That is the man of sin. That's the son of perdition. He's called on down here, the wicked. He's it's in capital letter. W is in capital letter. He's wicked. That's what he is. He's a personality of wickedness. So you must get a hold of this. And the reason he's that kind of a person, because he's going to be Satan incarnated. Satan is going to give him his power. Satan, I believe, will enter into him, and he will use this body as an incarnation of old Satan. And it's going to be wicked. It's going to be horrible. I can't probably make it worse enough so that you'll understand how bad it's really going to be, so that you'll understand the need for us to stay busy about getting people saved. Amen. You know, we've got to do that. Now, folks, don't go quiet on me. We've got to get people saved. We've got to. They've got to escape this horribleness of the tribulation period and this horribleness of this man of sin. And then he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He tried to remind the Thessalonians that he had already told them these things, preached to them these things, and taught them. And somewhere along the line, it seems like that we just let the teachings of the Word of God go out one ear and in one ear and out the other. That's what was happening to the Apostle Paul here. He said, don't you remember? Don't you remember I taught you these things when I was with you? Sure he did. And he says, now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What he's talking about here in the next few verses, he's talking about that which we withholdeth. That is the precious Holy Spirit of God that restrains and withholds the old devil from having complete control. God is sitting on the throne, and he withholds and restrains the work of the devil. He gives him certain abilities to do certain things. But folks, there is a restraining power through the Holy Spirit of God that lives in every Christian. That's what he says down here. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, and the word letteth there means he that hindereth, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And that, of course, is the removal of the church from this old planet Earth. The Holy Spirit is in you, he's in me, and he's going to one day be taken out of the way. And I don't know to what power he's coming back. I don't think he's going to completely be in heaven. I believe he's going to be here, because there's going to be people sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. 144,000 is going to be sealed. There's going to be people saved. But you got to remember something. When the rapture happens, we're left with a world that has not the Holy Spirit of God in any of the Christians, and all the Christians are gone. Now, we've talked about America sometime, but I want to tell you something, folks. One of these days, when the rapture happens, America is going to be left with a completely lost country. You understand that? So you've got to understand that, because, folks, it's going to get wicked. It's going to be terrible. Oh, surely not America. Yes, America. Because the Christians are gone. Right now, the Holy Spirit is the power that withholds and restrains old Satan from doing whatever he wants to do. You and I need to get a hold of that, because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And through us, we are the restraining power. It's the Holy Spirit that does that, but we're the restraining power. That's why I'm saying to you, you've got to get a hold of the truth that we've got to get busy. Now, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, and we have to get busy and take the Word of God to the lost. Amen? And we need to realize we got to do that. Time is short. The rapture could happen. How many of you believe that the rapture really could happen tonight? Okay. You understand what I'm saying? So we've got to get the job done. There's loved ones that are lost. And if the rapture happens, folks, they'll go into this tribulation period. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen here according to these scriptures after the rapture. He says, until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit of God through the church is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, there is talking about, wicked is capitalized. He's talking about a man, an individual, the Antichrist. That wicked will be revealed. You see, not till the rapture of the church will this wicked man, this wicked Antichrist, be revealed. It'll be after that he's revealed. Do we understand that? Amen? So there's no use speculating, although everybody likes to speculate. Everybody likes to do that, enjoys doing that. But let me say to you, no use speculating on who the wicked Antichrist is, because we don't know, and he's not going to be revealed till after the removal of the church. Okay? And then he says, whom, and I love this, because soon as he talks about this man of wickedness, he'll be revealed. He says, but wait a minute, I want to just put a little excerpt in here. I want to tell you something. And he says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He said, I want you to know he's going to be destroyed. Yeah, he's wicked. He's got a few years to do his dirty work. But I want you to know, I'm going to take care of him. Amen. And then he says in verse number 9, even him, he again identifies him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Do we understand again that this man is going to be working and using the power that Satan gives him? It's going to be Satan's power that empowers him during this time of tribulation. Okay? This is serious business. Amen? We've never seen anything like this. The Word of God says there's never been a day like the day of the tribulation. Never, never been a day. This is real serious business. But now listen to what he says. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He has deceived multitudes and multitudes that are perishing. Okay? And listen, he says, because, why are they perishing? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They would not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of truth, so that they could be saved. They was deceived by it. People go to church, there's people that comes and hears the word of God and sits and listens to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and because of their hard hearts, they refuse to get saved. They refuse to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've been, according to the scripture, deceived by this old Antichrist, by the spirit of the Antichrist, by Satan himself. They've been deceived. You understand that? Satan has, if you're sitting here today and you've refused the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're a deceived person. Oh, Satan has blinded your eyes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says then in verse 11, and for this cause, he says, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, or we could interpret that the lie, which is the Antichrist. They're going to believe the lie. Why? Because they've been deceived. See, I've had people tell me these things. You've had people, you know, I'll wait. I'm not going to get saved now. You know, I'll put it off. And you know, down the road, I'll get saved. You're foolish. You're silly. That's the most foolish thing in the world to do. You need to be saved now. You need to be born again now. If the rapture happens, these talking about people who have sat under the gospel. They've heard the word of God. They know what truth is. They know that, and yet they had refused it. Do you understand? They refused it. And so God says he's going to send them strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. They'll be deceived. And now listen to what he says. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you hear what he's saying? He said, these are the people, they heard the truth. If you were sitting in here today and you knew the truth of the gospel of Christ, let's just say you was lost. You knew the truth. You'd heard it preached. Someone had sat down with you with their Bible and told you how to be saved. Someone gave you a tract. You understood what it meant to be saved. You knew that that was the truth, and you rejected that. The rapture happens. My friend, you won't be saved. You will not be saved. That's what this scripture is telling us. You will not be saved. There is multitudes and multitudes who have not ever heard the gospel of Christ. There's billions of people across this world today who has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We said that today, and it's condemning him. I'm so thankful that Mr. Cullison got saved. But we was talking today the multitudes of times that man has sat under the gospel of Christ. And yet God in his long suffering saw to it that he heard it one more time that he might get saved. But I tell you what one man said, and I believe there's a lot of truth in it. He says, no man has the right to hear the gospel twice till everybody's heard it once. You understand? You see? And yet many times God allows us to be over and over given the gospel before we're saved. Oh, God is merciful, folks. But I want to tell you something. You reject it now, and I'll guarantee you something. If the rapture happens, you're not going to be saved. You're going to be sent great delusions that you will believe the lie. That's what God is teaching here in the Word. See, this Antichrist, it's going to be serious business. We've never seen anything like that. So now I want you to go with me over to the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we covered some of this last week, not all of it, but we covered in the 13th chapter. This is John standing in the first verse. Standing, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of heads, the name of blasphemy. Now this is John standing upon this sea and viewing this from John's standpoint. That's what he saw. And I think I brought this out last week when God gave his version of it back in chapter 11. I think, let me see here. Yes, chapter 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Here you find God's view. When God looks at this and gives us his view, he sees him coming out of the bottomless pit. Okay? That's important. John saw him coming up out of the Sea of Nations, but God points out and says he came up out of the bottomless pit. You see. Now, again, over in chapter 17, real quick, we're not going to spend a lot of time there, but in chapter 17, verse 8, you'll notice, and the beast, in verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Let me find in verse number 11 there. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. We will deal with those verses of scripture next week. But I want you to notice here again, God says, this beast comes up out of the bottomless pit. I want you to notice also what is said about this beast. If you'll notice, he said that at the end of it, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Let me try to explain something to you. In the scripture here, in chapter 17, I think, and chapter 13 also, you have the overrunning teaching of not only an individual, but a system. Okay, you have the system, the revived Roman Empire that we saw back in the book of Daniel. Now we saw that, and God said that it would be revived. There's not going to be another kingdom come other than Christ. It's going to be just a revived Roman Empire. I think you understand it. Some people want to say, well, this beast that come up out of the bottomless pit is the revived Roman Empire. Now, let me share with you why that cannot be. Notice what he says in the end of that verse, in verse 8, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. That beast there, he's talking about an individual, not the Roman Empire. The reason I know that is when John wrote that, the Roman Empire was at its height of power. I mean, they was powerful. So you see, John said, the beast that was and is not. So he's not talking about the Roman Empire because it was at its height of power. During John's time when he wrote this, he said this beast was, but he is not now. And he says, and yet is. He will be. I'm saying to you that there's coming a day when there's going to be an individual come up out of the bottomless pit, and we refer to him as the beast or the Antichrist. God has told us that. He told us that in verse number 11 also, the beast that was and is not. It's an individual. There is times in the scripture when he talks about, and he does that in chapter 17. We won't read that now, but the first of chapter 17, he talks about the beast and he talks about the woman riding on the beast. That is the system, the woman, and we'll deal with her next week, but that is a system that is riding on the system of the beast, the Roman, revived Roman Empire. He's not talking about an individual there. I'm just trying to get you to discern and to rightly divide the word of God on that, okay? So we're going to go back now to chapter 13, and he says in chapter 13, verse number 2, he says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. If you notice here, he's picturing back to the time of the book of Daniel. And he's looking at this composite of beasts And he's saying that the end time revived Roman Empire is going to be in it embodied all the other kingdoms that's already come to pass. Like the leper represented the Grecian Empire. And he also then the feet of the bear. Remember, it was the Media-Persia Empire. Remember, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. That was the Babylonian Empire. You're going to find in this last kingdom, you're going to find a composite of where all of these kingdoms are going to be embodied into this last one. It's going to be a monster. Satan himself, and also the beast, the Antichrist, and then also the false prophet, which if we have time here, we'll get into. But the false prophet, he has a satanic trinity. Amen. Even there, I see if I should take time here, over in Revelation 16. I guess I want you to know the wickedness of these that's represented here. Notice in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now listen to this. Not only the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This is wicked things, folks. And these wicked spirits like frogs came out of their mouth. It was pictured of them coming out of the mouth of those three. The dragon and the beast and the false prophet. And he said, for they are spirits, listen to this, of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. You see, these three, these wicked satanic trinity is used to send forth across the world and bring the armies together there to fight against Christ. Okay? So let's go back now, chapter 13. And he says, and there was, verse 5, and there was given unto him mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So what he's saying here, for 3.5 years, the wickedness is going to be full force. The last part of the tribulation period, he's first going to come in. We could find that in chapter 6 of Revelation. But first of all, he's going to come in peacefully. Going to come in, he has a bow, but no arrows. He's going to come in peacefully, the Antichrist is, and make friends. And make it as though that, you know, he's the answer to all the world's problems. And then, I believe after his deadly wound, and he's then raised again because of that, I believe that's when he turns completely in the middle of the tribulation period and turns completely against Israel and begins to show himself in the temple of God that he is God. See, that's what he wants to be. He wants the worship of God. Satan has always wanted the worship of God. Isaiah 28. He's always wanted the worship of God. Do you hear me? You see, there's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing can take the worship of God. Nobody, no pope, no supposedly vicar of Christ who stands in the place of Christ. No. No one stands in the place of Christ. Amen. It's always we worship Jesus and him alone. Amen. You understand? But Satan has always wanted to be worshiped. He wants the worship that God receives. Okay? So don't give it to him in any form whatsoever. Now, I know you don't intend to, but I'm saying to you, always keep in mind, it's Jesus, the Son of God, we worship. We worship God. Amen. God the Son. And you keep that in mind always. Don't worship anybody or anything else. It's always Jesus. Thank you. It's always him. No one else. Amen. Let's worship him. And then he says, He was given a great mouth, speaking great blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I've thought a lot about them that dwell in heaven. I kind of feel like he's talking about the church, and he's blaspheming those who were raptured out and probably calling us all kinds of things and probably saying, you know, we finally got what we deserved, and, you know, and God finally gave it to us and got rid of us, and there'll be all kinds of things said. And all the time we'll be up in heaven rejoicing and thanking God for his goodness and taking us home. Amen. So, but that's what the old Antichrist will do. And he says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Folks, there's going to be, the tribulation period is going to be a horrible time. He's going to be given power to overcome the saints of God. Multitudes is going to be slaughtered during those days. See, I don't think we really have an understanding of that. I don't know if I do myself, but it's going to be a horrible, horrible time that we won't be able to explain or understand. It's horrible what's going to happen during the tribulation period, you see. He's actually going to overcome the saints of God. Multitudes of them going to be slain, killed. Many of them, according to chapter 14, will be beheaded. Beheaded. Donna and I was talking. She said, you know, maybe it's the Muslims turned loose with their swords. It might be. I don't know, because I'm telling you what, they're doing some beheading. I always thought it was kind of like the guillotine. You know, he's going to set up, and anybody didn't have the mark of the beast is going to be taken over to the guillotine. Maybe they'll just let the Muslim have them and just cut their head off. I don't know. But they're going to be beheaded. That's what the Bible says, chapter 14. Amen. And so anyway, and he says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yeah, those whose name is written down in heaven is not going to worship the old Antichrist, the beast. And he says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. And I want to tell you, that's stronger than most of us think that verse is. If you have an ear, you better hear. You better listen. You better take note. That's what he's saying to us. And so now he comes down into chapter 13 in verse number 11, and he says, and I beheld. Now remember again, this again is John standing here. It's something that he saw, okay? And he said, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. In other words, he was looking like a lamb, acting like a lamb, but when he spake like a dragon, because that's where he gets his power. He gets it from the first beast, which is Satan incarnated, and he's going to get his power from him. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, if you notice again, he said he's exercising all the power of the first beast. He's his right-hand man. He's his prophet. And he's going to point everybody to the beast. You remember when I talked about the satanic trinity? What does the Holy Spirit of God do as far as Jesus is concerned? He points us to Jesus. He teaches us about Jesus. He does not lift up himself. Went through a time in America, and I suppose that some of it's still going on, when some of the Pentecostalism, you know, just become wild about the Holy Spirit of God, and all kinds of foolishness went on. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit does not lift up himself. He points everybody to Jesus. Always has and always will. That's why any preacher worth his salt is going to point anybody, everybody, to Jesus. That's why any Christian that's worth his salt is going to point people to Christ, you see. So he says here, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused of the earth them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now listen to me, folks. That's literally going to happen. This second beast is going to have the power to call down fire out of heaven. Wow. Just call fire down out of heaven. You know what's interesting? I won't go back there, but first chapter of 2 Kings. Elijah was sitting out there on a hilltop, and he had made a proclamation that Azariah, the king, he had fell down through the lattice, and he wanted to know if he was going to live or not. And so he sent his servants over to check with Beelzebub of Ekron to see if he was going to live. Well, Elijah intercepted him. And Elijah said, you go back and you tell your king that he's going to die. That's what he told him. And the servants went back, and the king said, why are you back so soon? You haven't had time to go check with Beelzebub. He said, well, we met a man on the way. And he said, well, what kind of man was he? And he said, well, he was a hairy man. He had a leather girdle around him. He said, that's Elijah. That's Elijah. So he sent a man that overseen 50 soldiers, and he sent the 50 with him up there to Elijah. Elijah was just sitting up there on a hill. The Bible says up on top of a hill. And they said, king said for you to come down. He said, if I be a man of God, listen, if I be a man of God, let fire come down to heaven and devour you. All of them was gone, 51 of them. So he went, and the king said, well, I'll send another 50 and his captain. And they came and they said, king said, come down. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and destroy you. And they was destroyed. Next 50, that captain had a little bit more sense. But that time he had said, man, I don't want nothing to do with this. He come and fell on the ground. And he said, now listen, he said, Elijah, he said, I don't want you to destroy us. And I'm giving you my version. He said, I don't want you to destroy us. He said, would you please come? Would you please come? The king wants you to come. Would you please come? And God said to Elijah, it's okay, you just go on. Don't be afraid of him. So Elijah went down and talked to the king and told him. He said, you're going to die. You're not going to rise up off your deathbed. You're going to die. Now, the reason I'm saying that is, you see, in those days and in most days, people would see someone calling fire down out of heaven. They would say, that's a man of God. And so we find here the beast calling fire down out of heaven, and people's going to say, oh, that must be from God. You see, deceived. You see, multitudes are going to be deceived because of this. And he deceived, and that's what it says in verse 14, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And so they made an image of this Antichrist and set it up, you see, and people were supposed to fall down and worship it. You remember the book of Daniel? You remember Neb's image? Huh? Remember old Neb's image? Remember that, the one that he set up out there in the plains of Dura? You remember that? And he said, now everybody bow down and worship that. Remember that? That's exactly what's going to happen here. It's going to be a different kind of image. Technology has changed. It's going to be a different kind of image. Listen to what it says. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Exactly what happened in the book of Daniel. Remember, they threatened them with death if they would not, in a fiery furnace, if they would not worship this image. Only here, there's not going to be any Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. These people who will not worship the beast will be slain. They'll be killed. Amen. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. You've heard about that mark all your life. There's going to be a mark in their forehead or in their right hand. Easy accessible to see that you have the mark of the beast. And that's the way you're going to buy and sell. That's what he says. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. See, you won't be able, listen to me, folks. Folk won't be able to buy anything. They won't be able to sell anything if they don't have that mark either in their forehead or in their right hand. You've got to understand that's the way it will be. You understand? You see, and that's serious business. Now, you want your loved ones to go through this? I don't have any doubt that you don't want that. I'm just simply saying to you folks, we got to get people saved. We got to get people turned to Christ. We got to keep after. That's got to be our heartbeat. That's got to be our goal. And he says here, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You've always heard about 666. That's the number of the beast. Well, what is his name? How do we know? We don't know. He won't be revealed till after the rapture. You understand that? He won't be revealed till after the rapture. But that's going to be the number of his name. You understand? And everybody will be given this mark, here or here, if you're going to buy or sell. That's the Antichrist. That's the false prophet backing all of this up. He becomes the very prophet of the Antichrist. Those two work together in conjunction together. You understand? And then the Bible tells us when they're taken, those two are cast into the lake of fire alive. Now, I'm just going to make this statement. You do not have to believe what this preacher says about this. You do have to believe they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says it. And they're going to be cast in there alive. But I personally believe that both of the beasts are going to be resurrected out of the bottomless pit. That's my belief. I believe that false prophet will be right along, because now he's going to have to he's already faced death. He's been raised from there, and he's going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. It's the only two people, anybody that's said that's cast alive into the lake of fire. Now, you don't have to take that. That's okay. It doesn't matter. We believe what the scripture says. But I believe both of those will be the same situation as the first beast. I think they'll be brought up out of the bottomless pit. Okay? Someone that has lived before on this old earth. We'll talk about that a little more next week. But I want to show you something God brought to my attention next week. Chapter 17. I want you to see what we can know for sure. And God makes it very, very plain. Personalities. Folks, you got to be careful with personalities. You just got to be careful. We don't know all those things. But there is two systems that's going to go side by side in chapter 17 and work together. And one of those is going to be completely destroyed by the other system. That's what the Bible says. So next week we'll pick up from there. Father, thanking you again today for your goodness and your grace, your kindness. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to examine it. Help us to rightly divide it, Lord. Help us not to make foolish statements. But Lord, help us to point to our people and help us to understand the seriousness of this day. And Father, it is. It's very serious. And I ask you, Father, to stir our hearts towards soul winning, getting people saved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.